Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have the famous story today of the birth of Moses. And some of you might know the backstory, why this woman had to hide her son. Remember the story of the people of Israel? They were in Egypt. They had spent some time in Egypt and were guests, immigrants in Egypt, until a time when they were viewed with suspicion, they were viewed with fear, and they became enslaved by the population. And at the time of Moses' birth, the Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt, had decided that the people were becoming too populous. And the only way to control the population was to kill any male child who came out of the womb. And so that was the state of being when Moses was born. He already had two siblings, his older brother. So I guess before this edict, the older brother was okay. His name was Aaron. His sister's name was Miriam. And then he was born. Now, I don't think that the writer of Exodus meant this to be a joke, but I thought it was hilarious when I read. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. So, you know, I guess if he had been ugly, she would have thrown him in the river. But, you know, he was a fine-looking kid, so, you know, she would keep him. So she hides him for 3 months, and then at the end of 3 months, when she can no longer hide this child, she makes a little boat for him and floats him down the river, and the princess of Egypt, Pharaoh's daughter, sees this child, takes pity on the child, and you know, you have to think that she had to be a very special lady too, because there were a lot of children being killed in the Nile. But she took this baby and defied her own father to raise this baby. So the story goes that not only is Moses' mother quite clever, but also his sister, because the sister was waiting to see what would happen. And the minute she took this baby out, the princess took the baby out, the sister runs and says, "Do you need a nursemaid?" And the princess says, "Well, yes." And so she calls Moses' own mother there, and the mom is able to take her own baby back and nurse her child until the time that he's weaned, and then she hands him over to Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter calls him Moses, because I drew him out of the water. It's a lovely story. So here's a boy with two moms, one that is a slave, one that can give him life and nurture, but it's the other mom, the princess, who brings him into the palace. He is afforded the best that Egypt can provide. He is a child of wealth and privilege in that palace. And what's so intriguing to me is that when he grows up to full adulthood, even though he's had every opportunity in this wondrous palace in Egypt, he does not identify himself as Egyptian. Whatever that mother put in him stuck, even though she only had him for a few years. And he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt where his loyalties lie. And we know him as the great liberator of his people. What is also very interesting is when he liberates the people and they're out in the wilderness, the people who were formerly slaves complain and say, "We want to go back to Egypt into slavery." They always said, you know, Egypt was so much better than this wilderness. But Moses never says, "I wish I was back at the palace. I wish I had never taken this path." He's so identified because of what his mother put in him. And I would challenge those of you who have a family, who are starting out. I know I have some young mothers here. One of the things that we need to give to our kids, beyond education, beyond the career path, beyond all the beautiful things we have, the toys and the beautiful outfits we dress them in, is we have to give them their identity, who they are. And who they are wonderful children of God. And as children of God, they've been put on this planet to love and to bless and to create good in their lives. And we have to instill that into our children. When a year before my mother died, she wrote out all the things that she wanted to have for her funeral. And she said things like being buried in her latest party dress. And then she was asked, "What do you want people to remember you for?" And she answered this way, "That I pass the torch of the gospel to the next generation." She wanted us to know who we were in Christ Jesus. And she did that quite well. This is something we need to instill in the next generation, the torch of the gospel, who we are in God. That's what brought Moses to his finest hour. But there's another part of the story. Whenever I read about Moses' mother, I've heard all about what she instilled in Moses, and that was all fine and good. But if you read the rest of this story, you have to understand something about this mother. Her heart was broken by her child. The very next verse, after this lovely picture of him being in a basket and getting raised in the palace, he said, "One day after Moses had grown up, he went to his people and saw their forced labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his kinfolk. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And after that, he became a fugitive." Now, this was not a day of Instagram and Twitter and cell phones. He fled, and she never saw her son again, never knew what happened to him. By the time he was called to liberate his people, he was 80 years old. His mother was long gone. And she had to live with the heartache of not knowing what happened to her son. All she knew was her son did a terrible thing and was now gone, out of her life forever. When she died, we don't know when Jochebed died, but when she died, her eldest was still in slavery, her whole nation was still in slavery, and her son was a fugitive and did not know whether he was dead or alive. And I believe the message to us is we can do the best that we know how to do, but we cannot have control over the results. And sometimes we have such heartache with our children, with our friends, with our family, and only God knows what the outcome will be. Jochebed died without ever knowing, and yet we know that her son Moses, beyond being a fugitive and a murderer, was the liberator of his people. We know that at the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was transformed, who did he meet but Moses? We know the rest of the story. Jochebed did not know. There's another part of the story for all those in heartache. There's another part of the story for all those in disappointment. God is a God of life. God is a God of resurrection. And it might be generations before we really know the outcome of our own heartache. She did the best she could, and she would never know until, I guess, on her side of glory in heaven, what actually happened to her dear son. God expects us to do our part. God expects us to be faithful and to continually give a message to our children and to the people that we come in contact with. It is not up to us to form the results. And sometimes we just have to trust, when we've been disappointed in life, that God has this. And we might not know for decades. We might not know in our lifetime what will happen. But we know that our lives are in God's hands. just as Jochebed's and Moses' were. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you when we can put bumper stickers on our cars and say, my kid is an honor student. And I thank you also when we are bitterly disappointed that we can rest in the hope of resurrection, in the hope of a new day, in the hope that you are working out your purposes for our children, for our grandchildren, for all those we come in contact with. We thank you for keeping Moses in her heartache. And we thank you, Lord, for those here in this congregation who have faithfully given your word to the next generation. We ask that it will be our privilege and our joy to pass the torch. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.